Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jennifer Navarrete, and as always, I am joined by the wonderfully fabulous Sherry Lowry. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
So today we're diving into the first week of the Build Your Business Once show with a focus on knowing yourself. Why is knowing yourself so important, Sherry?
Well, for one thing, you're going to take yourself everywhere. And no matter what, if you're in business, you're going to keep showing up. And so I think it's incredibly important that we get to the very bottom of the truth about what we actually want to be spending our time doing more of, that we can do over and over, what we never want to do again, what we could do, but to be able to ask, is it really ours to do? And just identifying what your priorities are in such a way that still gives the client plenty of flexibility and choice.
You know, that is so important because I think I don't know if it comes with being seasoned or with experience, but I have started to discover what those are. But I sure wish I would have known that 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It sure would have saved me a lot of grief.
Right. Well, one example in the executive coaching field and in the business coaching field in general, a lot of times the training programs recommend demonstration coaching, whereas you offer people a free demo session. And I had to learn really quickly that I could not handle 45 clients who wanted to work with me because maybe they didn't want to go into training somewhere, or they didn't want to go into therapy, or they didn't want to do whatever it was to work on themselves and within their own, you know, life, but that they thought I could provide a shortcut to. So I had to quit doing demonstration coaching, not because I didn't enjoy it and not because I just didn't do it well, but because I discovered there were a lot of people I really shouldn't be matched up with that could be much better served in a whole nother, mode of approach. So it was a little bit of a learning the hard way that I had to go through in order to figure it out. So where would you like to start today?
Well, I would like to know about, so let's talk to the younger version of ourselves, that if we had known, you know, then what we know now about knowing ourselves, how do we identify
right.
that? Because I think identifying is the toughest thing. And once you know how to do that, it's something you do instinctively, which is where I'm at this stage. That's where I'm at now. I instinctively know that's not for me.
All right.
That's something I can hand off to someone else. But how do you get there? And how can you get there sooner for the younger version of ourselves?
Okay. Well, I did one wise thing. I didn't know it at the time. I stumbled on it kind of out of frustration. But, you know, there are a lot of things that we're capable of. And so in the very, very beginning, like 2 full years before I actually started this business, so I was fortunate that I had a full-time business that was, supportive and that I still enjoyed, but I knew I was ready for a change. So the very first thing I did was start with a spreadsheet, which turned out to be inadequate by the first hour. And I marched to the store and got some butcher block paper. And I created a facsimile of a spreadsheet, but I had to do it on paper because on a laptop or a computer, it was going too far off the edge for my purposes. And I drew, I started to draw columns on this butcher paper. And in the very first column was, what can I not keep myself from doing? What am I going to do over and over and enjoy no matter what? And that I will prioritize. So I started to make a list of all of the different things that you can't keep me from doing. One is continuous learning. Another was connecting people. I'm a psychologist by background, and one of the reasons I primarily loved and actually was a good therapist but decided to leave the industry was because I was too restricted in that from connecting people that I really thought needed to meet each other. And so the first column was all about what I wanted to increase the doing of or had a real avid taste for. The second column was never again. And like all of us, I'd learned some things up to that point, and I knew really well what I did not want to do again, but I had never written it down. And so that second column began to be populated with things like accounting. Though I can do that, it drains me. It's not I'm good with detail, but I don't care about keeping that kind of detail. So I made a commitment that I would not start anything else in terms of a business until I had the accounting really well covered in a way that I liked covering it. I fortunately had an accountant colleague who liked what I was doing in my business. We made an agreement, and it actually lasted for 3 full years, where she would set all my accounting and financial and all my IRS reporting and all of that up for me, and I would help her with relaunching a new segment of her business because she wanted to start working with psychologists and mental health professionals and people who were doing meaningful things. And she ended up doing that for holistic workers as well. And so we spent 3 years on that exchange. So that got that item handled. Then the third column was, if I wasn't going to do it, who was going to do it, and how was I going to budget it? And so that was the staff or the hire or the contract or the borrow or the trade column. So I had those three columns. And that was the basic beginning of the business structure of my first business. And then I had a fourth column, which what was I willing to do, could do, capable of doing, probably even good at, that I was asked to do often, but I didn't really enjoy. And the fourth column could exist, and that could be enacted, but with boundaries. I'd always have a time frame on it. It would be like a project that had a start and a finish, or it would be I could do certain elements, ABC of it, but whoever I was doing this with would need to arrange to have the DEF part of that done another way. And so that began to give me the confidence and the willingness to negotiate a little bit. And that became very important, too. And then that carried over into how did I want to schedule? Well, I was a psychologist by background, and as you probably are well aware, they mainly work by appointment and time frame, and they bill kind of by the hour or the other ways that are based on trading talent for money in different ways. So I knew I wanted to schedule more flexibly, and the choice I made that has worked out to today, 23 years later, in making my appointments, I'm the one who pretty much names if it's going to be an a.m. Time frame or a p.m. time frame, and the dates that I'm available. And almost always I'm able to give the client the choice of which of those dates might work for them, and does a morning arrangement work or an afternoon arrangement. And I always ask them when we're back and forth on that, and because we don't always get to use a scheduling system, if they will give me their first two options and I'll fit within one of those. But I've already given them the ballpark frame of when my availability is. I don't want to have to hold those things open until somebody decides at their end. And so that has worked out really well. And they like the choice.
Well, that takes you in control of your schedule.
I still can control my schedule. I'm not limited by my own schedule, and I'm also not limited by other people making up their mind. So that's
right.
Worked
you know,
out
part
well.
Of knowing, part of knowing yourself is also knowing how to say no. And when I was listening to you talk about that fourth column of being capable of doing things, but those are not necessarily things you enjoyed, part of that is saying, being able to say no in a way that does. I think we don't like to say no because we think it makes us look bad. And
right.
I'll tell you my trick that I use is I don't know
okay.
if it's a trick, it's just a strategy. But what I tell people is, not at this time. That sounds really interesting. My schedule,
mm-hmm.
you know, is already. I don't have the availability at this time, or not. I kind of, but not at this time, kind of helps
mm-hmm.
buffer that no, so that it,
right.
I personally don't feel bad about it, and they also on the receiving end don't feel bad about it because I may not be interested, but it's just that I don't have the bandwidth, the space, the time, the ability to do that at this time. And I think that for me was such a key moment of really knowing myself, because I wound up saying yes to a lot of things that were in that fourth column, which I didn't know there was four columns, but now I do. And I wound up then kind of interfering with the column, the first column, which is the things that I would do over and over again, you know, regardless,
uh-huh.
because I just love it. And then when that uh-huh. started to happen, I began to be unhappy with my scenario and my situation, but yet I was the one who
yes.
put me in that space. So that
right.
has been so key. Can you share some of your alternative no techniques?
Yes. That brings us to energy and being able to, and part of knowing thyself is knowing how you're put together energetically. And so, for example, when I get a contact out of the blue, very often by a referral or something I've written or spoken about or showed up and said something about, I have kind of a big mouth sometimes, so that word circulates. I have a read of my own energetic kind of flow. Like when I met you, my energy was very high. My energy always stays high. Anytime I'm going to have an encounter with Jennifer, I'm ready for it. I'm looking forward to that. There are people that you and I know that is not the case with. I have to know where I stand energetically with the opportunities as well as the challenges that come up. And so if my energy drops, let's say that I'm going to run at an 85 to 90, I'm a high energy person. So I'm going to run between 85 and 95, you know, natural energy almost all the time. Unless I'm not. But it's begun to be really obvious to me, and the older I get, the more obvious it becomes. What leaves me neutral, which is fine, because it doesn't take away, it's not a takeaway of any kind, and what actually inspires me or uplifts me or supports me that my energetic level, just because of the encounter, will rise. Nothing particularly has to happen, but that situation or that person or that circumstance just shows up, and I'm cool with it. You know, I'm just fine with it. Once it drops below 85, and I have kind of like a little temperature gauge that I live with internally that I can keep track of, and all of us do when we learn to pay attention to that. If it drops below 85, I better be thinking thrice, like not once, not twice, but three times before I say yes. And that's when the graceful no comes in, Jennifer. And I've written a number of articles, and you can find them after you actually, graceful no, and my name, Sherry Lowry, you can find some articles out there about that. Because that became, like you mentioned, very important for me to know what was a graceful no for me, and how could I increase the frequency of it.
I love it. I think that's fantastic. You know, you mentioned resources, that you have resources, you know, that folks can share. That graceful no, I think, is a great resource for those. Because I know I run into people like that who are yes people. And it's not that they just overcommit themselves. And I used to be like that. And it's so easy to identify. For me to identify it now, because I look at them and how harried they are and how frazzled they are and how they don't have time to focus on the things that they absolutely love. And so for dear friends, I pull them aside and go, let me share with you something that you need to start practicing, and it will change your life. And it's not a it's a big thing, but it's not really a big thing. It's a small nuance that will all of a sudden, now you're in control of your schedule. Now you can really accept those projects that are really important to you and that feed your soul. And so that's been a real key, you know, for me. And it's funny, you don't know it when you're in it, but you know it after you've gotten out of it. You can see it really clearly.
Right. We'll talk a little bit more as we go through that beautiful small action with a big impact. That's the kind of thing you're talking about. And then one last kind of thread I want to weave through here today before we complete. We'll also be talking about that cycle that I barely mentioned the first time. There's a cycle for me in particular, but I find this true with clients as well, that are drawn to people in a client-based business. My cycle is most of my relationships that really build into something significant start somehow in the head. There is a logical, common sense connection of why I'm drawn to that person or that project or that capability that they have or way of being that they have. That very quickly involves the heart because I then care more about what it is they're representing or they're bringing to the table. And there's almost always, when it's in a business frame, a wallet or an ROI piece, it's a good investment for me to spend more time with that person or to learn more about what it is they know or how they go about, you know, being in their life. And that cultivates relationships. So there's a little cycle here that we're going to be talking about for the whole month that it touches on head, heart, wallet, our relationship. Sometime they overlap and one becomes, you know, more than one of those areas of aspect. But almost always it can be rooted in one. And so one of the things that I'll probably bring up next time is the little four quadrant, a kind of a thing that people can run through when they're doing their self-determination of what they want more of, what they want less of, what they want to start, and what they want to stop. Because you and I usually are talking with and about people who have a lot of opportunity.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I don't know if anyone else is doing this, but I'm taking rabid notes over here as Sherry's talking because it's just gold. Some of the things I can say, oh, I've done that, but most of the things are like, ooh, I need to do that. So I think as you every day from at 9:30, you need to have your fingers flexed and your text edit document open and just get ready to dive right in because this is great stuff. Thank you, Sherry, for just enlightening us again, and I'm really excited about this Know Yourself First topic because that really is the start. You can't, you know, reach for the stars if you don't know yourself first.
Right. And maybe next time we'll even get into pricing and rate setting and changing things and raising rates.
I think that's a great tease for tomorrow's show. Fantastic. All right. Well, have a great day, everyone.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Bye-bye.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.